Hey guys, what's up? Scott Fish here. Just sending a little message that we've had a trouble with our podcast feed, and it's not going to some of the Apple Podcast app. It's still downloading on iTunes fine. It's downloading on a lot of stuff fine, but the Apple Podcast app and Stitcher are having issues with it. We've tried and tried and tried to get to the bottom of this, and just nothing's working. So it looks like we may have to switch our feed. We're going to continue to post on both our new feed and this old feed for a little while here. I'll probably continue to leave this message. Please go to fanball.com, go to click news, and you should be able to find the podcast area from there, which will have the new feed for you to subscribe to. You could probably search for Fantasy Football Almost Daily on whatever you use, and it should show up. Look for the one that has lots, you know, the most recent episodes. Yeah, it's rough. It sucks, but that's what it's going to be. We're going to have to start transitioning to that feed. So thanks for your patience. Hopefully you'll follow us to the new feed. I will try to post on both. Until then, here's the show.
Fantasy Football Almost Daily. I am Paul Charchian, Waiver Wire Edition. Matt Harrison is with me.
Might also be the Appliance Edition.
It is. I'm dealing with dryer problems. In the last year, I've replaced dishwasher, dryer, and now I have to do the washer to go with it because I need them stacked, and if you have to get the same kind.
Absolutely.
My refrigerator I've replaced as well, and my microwave. All in the last year, four major appliance purchases.
And your appliances couldn't have been that old either. You don't live in the oldest house.
I don't. I just think they make them to fail now.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'm not usually this cynical about things, but we now know Apple had built their products to fail, and they've admitted to it. As consumers, I think we've just gotten to a point where we just accept the fact that we're going to buy all new stuff every 3 years.
We're 3 years and 3 months into our new home, and I'm on my third dishwasher.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal. Now, Consumer Reports says, and I have found this to be true, don't scrape. Scrape, don't rinse. Two reasons. One, okay. Today's washers and the detergents are so good that you don't need it, and all you're doing is wasting water and effort. Number two, what was number two? Oh, number two is they'll actually clean better with residue on the plate. For some reason, somehow, your plates will get cleaner faster if there's something on the plate, which sounds totally counterintuitive, but that's what Consumer Reports says, and why would they lie? So that's just a side tip.
So my 13-year-old, he loads the dishwasher most of the time. My 11-year-old daughter also does a little bit of that too. That's the job that they kind of share, and we have them load it. And I always tell them, hey, rinse everything off, because if it doesn't, I don't remember what kind of dishwasher I have right now. It's a good name brand one, but it's obviously not working. I just get food stuck in it. I got to detach the hose. I got to hook the shop vac up to it, run water through it, and then suck out all the gunk to it. I've done it at least five or six times, and it's an absolute disaster.
Mine just keep failing, and the fail is always that I got water all over my kitchen.
I want a dishwasher to come with a garbage disposal right in it, it can eat everything.
They used to have that, but I think now they don't have it. They don't have the disposal built into it.
Loud.
It is too loud.
Everybody needs their dishwasher to be whisper quiet.
I do.
And my dishwasher's super quiet.
Yeah.
But I'd rather it work than shut up. Waiver wire.
Waiver wire. You know what works? Marcus Mariota works.
Yeah.
That's what works. This for me is the best waiver wire move of the day, is Marcus Mariota.
You know what I like on this fanball.com article that we're pulling a lot of this info from that you can go read if you miss any part of the podcast at fanball.com/news.
Yeah, and it has more detail than we'll talk about here.
It's the number one and number two overall picks from, what, 2014?
Oh, yeah, right. Mariota and Jameis Winston. Right. What does it say? That they're both available in a, you know, to between them, they're available in 80 or 90% of leagues.
It says
it
was
the first two picks.
The first 2 weeks or 3 weeks of this year were looking like they were complete busts, and now they're back?
Mariota's back. He's healthy finally. I mean, that's the whole deal on Mariota. He had not played a full game until last week, and he finally played one, and all he did is put up 400 total yards, three touchdowns, running with abandon, and now he gets the Bills. He's got a budding chemistry with Corey Davis that looks like it's on the ascent. The rest is a receiver, ever his receivers stink. But I like the fact that he's got Corey Davis, and you may not have noticed, Deion Lewis, with his zero rushing yard performance, nine receptions, but he had a big receiver.
Just playing receiver now?
Yeah, he's basically the receiver
now.
He's
a slot receiver.
Because they have nobody else. Well, he's not running out of the slot, but they don't even catch a ball.
Rashard Matthews left
the
team.
Yeah, he quit on the team.
Yep.
And, you know, they're hoping that Taywan Taylor will step up, which he did, by the way. And he had a good game, and I think we'll talk about him in a little while. But I like Mariota. And the quarterbacks who can run makes such a big difference in fantasy, and Mariota can. All right, so we'll start with him. I have my my blind bidding recommendation at 10% unless you're in a QB heavy league, and then I would double it to 20%.
I think that's fair. The only thing, the nerves that come in on the Mariota thing is it was a nerve issue. Mm-hmm. It's nerve damage. He wasn't getting grip on the ball, and if he gets hit in the wrong way or falls on that elbow again,
that'll just drop him.
Yeah.
There's that, right? I don't know.
And by the way, the Bills aren't necessarily a cupcake defense, especially since Leslie Frazier was stripped of his play calling abilities.
That helped a lot, for sure. Maybe not a cupcake, but it's not good either.
It's not good, but it's not as terrible as we thought it was.
No, I'll agree with that. Jameis Winston's on bye, and then he gets the Falcons. That's the only, to me, that's the reason to pick up Winston, is you get a Falcons secondary hammered with injury. And I personally, I don't think we've seen the last of Stewbeard. I think there's going to be, you know, some way, somehow, Jameis Winston, they're going to look back at some point and go, man, those few games with Stewbeard were pretty good. But Winston's startable in 2 weeks. If you're already planning your week six bye, I'd consider going and getting Winston. But otherwise, personally, I wouldn't.
Here's the rub. Drew Brees, his bye is week six.
How is that the rub in particular?
Well, so if you're a Drew Brees owner, then you look at Jameis Winston because he's got a great matchup against the Falcons. So start planning that if you're a Brees owner or one of those.
But there's no rub. Bye. You said here's the rub.
Okay. Yeah.
That means that's a bad thing. This is the good thing.
I like to rub in the good way.
I'm glad I'm on this side of the table. A lot of people are going to run to Mitch Trubisky. I'm not doing it. If he could play the Bucs every week, game on.
Sure.
And then Derek Carr, available in 80% of leagues. His play's getting better, for sure. The volume's going up a bit. He had 400 yards and four touchdowns against a previously solid Browns defense. Granted, it took overtime to get there, but I could see throwing him on a roster, but I'm not going out of my way.
It's sad that most of these guys are on one of my Empire League rosters right now.
That is probably a bad sign. They're all talking about the waiver wire here. Get this. Aaron Jones, available in 45% of leagues. Sometimes we play at such a high level. We forget that there are all of these casual leagues out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of those casual people aren't listening to this kind of podcast. But in the unlikely event that Aaron Jones is available, you'll want to go get him and bid plenty to get him.
Yeah.
He's got the Lions this week. They are giving up 5.3 yards per carry.
There we go.
I've got Aaron Jones already. I can't say exactly my plans for Aaron Jones, but let's just say I believe Aaron Jones will be in my I'll put it this way. I think he'll be in my top 15 at running back this week as I work on my player rankings. And I have a blind bidding recommendation of 40% on Aaron Jones.
That's a lot. I'm a little scared of that just because of the fact that there are two other running backs on that roster that just aren't going to go away. That's the issue I have.
He's like, just so much. I think he's so much better.
I agree with you.
So much better.
But they're gonna still give Jamal Williams eight carries.
If Aaron Rodgers is pounding the table for him openly,
okay,
to the media, something's gonna happen. Jones is gonna emerge as he won't be a workhorse because they won't do that. But
that's exactly what I just said.
Well, but there's a difference. I can not be, you know, workhorse to me is like you're 80 to 85, 90% guy. But I think Jones is going to distinguish himself from the rest of the group.
Which one's better, a workhorse or a bell cow?
A bell horse. A work cow. I think Jones is going to end up distinguishing himself. 60% of the usage going forward.
Right.
Tariq Cohen's available in 40% of leagues because a lot of people kicked him to the curb after his, I don't know, nondescript showing through the first three games, and then he erupted last week. The catch here is that Jordan Howard has to at some point be a bigger part of this offense.
Yeah.
Has to.
Yeah.
I know his fantasy owners are just dying right now. How does you, in a game script, you're up 38-3 at half, and your workhorse back gets no work in the second half? What?
What's going on there? What don't we know? What's up with Jordan Howard?
I'd like to know.
You're on Chicago radio.
I talked to him today about it. They don't know either. Nobody knows. But I know there's a lot of frustrated fantasy owners.
So if you were saying you weren't really in on Trubisky, and obviously Cohen has the week five bye as well, does that downplay what you would do with Cohen going into this week's waiver run since you're not using him this week anyway?
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm probably not putting a bid on him.
Not at all.
Just because I think either – somebody's going to be able to pick him up for a buck, or somebody will pick him up this week, have some sort of crazy roster decision, and then drop him because he was the last guy on the roster.
Maybe.
To fill in a tight end or something like that.
That could end up happening. And we'll get to tight ends. We probably should have led with tight ends.
It really,
that's the problem everybody's
the tight
got
end
right
apocalypse
now.
Right
it
now.
Is.
Yeah.
Mike Davis is got all the work, or the majority of the work last week, pretty much out of the blue. We all thought if it weren't Carson, it would be Penny because Penny had been in the rotation. And then we got surprised with Mike Davis, who ended up with having a good game. And then Pete Carroll says it's going to be a running back by committee approach. But also, Pete Carroll is a pathological liar.
How bad is Penny?
Yeah, no kidding.
What the heck happened there?
I frankly, I want to avoid the whole thing. I've got a 5% bid on Mike Davis.
Yeah.
I don't like. And by the way, I think Chris Carson's just a lot better than he is.
Glossed over Nyheim Hines a little bit. I kind of wanted to mention him because he has the ability to take over that role
a little bit.
The main role as the top running back.
You think as a runner? It's all about the receptions.
Well, here's the other deal. As you've mentioned several times, Andrew Luck cannot throw the ball far.
No, he can't.
Guess where he can throw the ball? To the guy out of the backfield.
Sure.
Like over and over again. So nine catches isn't like out of the realm of possibility for Hines in any given week. I mean, that's obviously the high end, but I mean, he's a 6-7 catch kind of game guy if he's getting snaps.
He had nine catches last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the catches. Well, I'm worried when Marlon Mack comes back, what's his role then? It's just a confusing backfield. Marlon Mack's never been good. No, he's not very good.
Yeah.
And neither is Nyheim Hines, I don't think, but he can catch. That's the one thing he's bringing to the table.
Yeah.
His ownership is at 16%, so 84% of leagues he is available. And in a PPR league, sure, go grab him. Speaking of Andrew Luck, I watched all 62 of his passes. 62 of his passes. Watched them all. It's the arm strength is clearly better, but it's still not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all just the dump off stuff anymore. It's now just mostly the dump off stuff. He uncorked one legitimately long throw and had a pretty good rainbow on it.
Okay.
And then out of the 62, 58 of the passes were 19 yards or under.
So it's
not as bad as it was for Luck, but it's still not good.
Do you think that this, say you're in a dynasty league and you're 0-4 or 1-3 right now, is this the time you go get Andrew Luck, knowing that his arm strength might improve over the season, or he might not get it back till next year, and next year we're going to get the real Andrew Luck, and this year it's kind of the poor man's Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I mean, next year he could be a top five quarterback.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I think this is a buy low moment.
It is. It's a career buy low moment. You know, if you're in an empire league, a dynasty league, absolutely. Let's go to the wide receiver position. Well, we should mention Nick Chubb because he had, it turned three carries into 100 yards of touchdown. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of interest in him, but that's totally unsustainable.
Hasn't he had something like 15 rushing attempts this year on like 19 snaps?
Yeah, probably.
Like, they're not even putting him on the field, but when they do, they hand him the ball.
No, it's true. I mean, but it's not you can't sustain this kind of production on zero carries.
Yeah.
So I'm just staying away from Nick Chubb. Let's go to the wide receiver position, and then we got to spend a little extra time on tight ends. Taywan Taylor is the new Rishard Matthews, but maybe better. He put up a 7-catch, 77-yard game and was targeted 9 times. I like that part.
9 times.
9 times. He's probably going to be the starter the rest of the year. Tajae Sharpe has worked into the mix a bit as well, but I think Taylor's going to end up being your starter most of the year.
Yeah, with Matthews gone and now Delanie Walker also gone, there's so many targets to go around, and Taywan Taylor's just going to get some.
I need you to flex your vocal cords. Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
That's very good. That's very good. We predicted a big game from Taylor Gabriel. He came through with a 2-touchdown performance and a career-high 104 yards.
That was your take a chance on me wide receiver, wasn't it? Marvin Lewis?
No, it's no. Tuvi's got the all-time record of, I think, a 4-touchdown game out of Marvin Lewis. So I can't touch that one yet.
But that's pretty dang good. That's in the pantheon right there.
It's not too bad. Not too shabby. Going forward, he's on bye again, another Bear. He's on bye this week. But going forward, I think he's going to be a guy you can pick your spots on, especially if Anthony Miller stays out. And he looks like he's going to be out for quite a bit longer. A lot of the passing offense can still go through him, and so in particular matchups, you'll want to look at him. Kiki Cutie. I love the name Kiki Cutie, and he's so small.
I heard the pronunciation was Kute.
It's not.
It's not?
I've watched every one of his receptions. It's Cutie. And it's more
Kiki Cutie sounds like a stuffed animal that you get for your daughter.
And he's like 5'7". He's just
he's a cutie.
You just want to snuggle with him. If Will Fuller is going to just be constantly in and out of lineups, this is where Kiki Cutie comes in, and he's got a real opportunity to do something with Watson because they're constantly throwing and they can't run. So they actually ran him a lot, too. They gave him end-arounds and running plays. So he's sort of a utility receiver for them that way.
A better version of Tavon Austin.
Well, probably true. 15 targets.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Last thing I want to mention, because I think I've already staked a claim to this guy as potentially my take-a-chance-on-me receiver for this week.
Okay.
D.D. Westbrook surging right now.
Yeah.
Keelan Cole made that amazing catch against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, and basically we haven't seen him since.
Mm-hmm.
D.D. Westbrook has gotten a lot more looks the last couple of weeks and a juicy matchup with the Chiefs coming. Let's turn our attention to tight ends because this is the problem everybody's got. If you started the season with Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry, probably nobody actually
did.
Delanie Walker.
Jack Doyle.
Greg Olsen. Tyler Eifert. Now Kelsey's hurt. Now Gronk is hurt. I mean, everybody needs a tight end. Let's talk about available options. Cameron Brate.
But not available this week.
Is not available this week because he won't play this week. He's on bye. But after that, it looks like O.J. Howard's going to miss probably
a month, probably.
Yeah, with an MCL.
And it's worth noting that Cameron Brate was not Ryan Fitzpatrick's guy.
No.
When Ryan Fitzpatrick came in last year, Cameron Brate got nothing. When Ryan Fitzpatrick started this season, Cameron Brate got nothing. And as soon as Jameis Winston comes back,
funny,
here comes the touchdowns.
Yeah. Of course, O.J. Howard being knocked out helps, too.
That doesn't hurt.
Vance McDonald is increasingly separating himself from Jesse James, who just had one target last week. McDonald is a ongoing good option in my mind.
Here's the deal with Vance McDonald. It's very possible that he finishes the year as a top 10 tight end.
Oh, yeah.
Just because
for sure
nobody's left.
Yeah.
And Vance McDonald plays on a good offense. Mm-hmm. And really, as long as Le'Veon Bell's not there, those targets are funneling somewhere. And they really haven't been funneling to James Conner recently. They've started to funnel more toward the tight ends.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think there's an angle here.
Yeah.
Tyler Croft should pick up a fair amount of the work, not all the work, left in the wake of the demise, the annual demise of Tyler Eifert.
He's the second best Tyler.
Second best Tyler on the team, yeah. But eight, seven touchdowns last year, right, in relief. So yep. CJ Uzoma, the Uzi. Managed just 10 catches for 92 yards and a score all of last year. So I don't think he's a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Croft is an option. Let me give you two more. Because you got to go deep at the tight end position right now.
Yeah, because some people had Will Disley, too.
Well, some people had Will Disley. So now that leaves Nick Vinette, who we thought was going to be the better pass-catching Seattle tight end anyway.
He was my take-a-chance-on-me tight end in week one.
How about that? Well, you were just ahead of your time.
I
That's
was.
All. He's got the Rams this week. Maybe this is going to be the big breakout for him. Now that Will Disley is dead, we will we'll go to Nick Vinette. Well, is effectively dead for this year. And then Monday night. Out of the blue, with Jake Butt gone, Jeff Heirman goes bonkers for the Broncos with seven targets, which I did not see that coming.
Is that bonkers?
That's semi-bonkers. It's,
okay.
It's bonk. Keenum had a lot of success throwing to Kyle Rudolph last year, and now it looks like he's turning his attention to Heirman. 6 foot five. Dude's big. And I think he could turn into a red zone option as well. I think he's a flyer this week against the Jets and somebody you could get for basically nothing. He'll be a $1 waiver wire bid.
There's going to be a lot of people picking up these guys.
Because they have to.
Because there's
they
nothing left.
They have to. They're just, you're right, there's nothing left. It's it is a disaster. Now, if Kelsey doesn't go, I'm forgetting the name of the backup guy behind him. He's gigantic.
Oh,
I know. I just watched him
yeah.
three a bunch of catches last night. It's not coming to my mind.
Thomas?
No. Dang it. I don't have. You've got the computer.
I've got a computer in front of me. What am I doing?
Well, yeah, you can go look. Demetrius Thomas. Is Demetrius? It's Demetrius something.
Isn't it Demetrius?
Not Thomas.
Thomas?
That's Demarius Thomas. It's Demetrius Harris.
Yeah.
It's Demetrius Harris.
I got the is right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's our guy. I'm embarrassed it took me that long to come up with his name. Gigantic target. If for some reason Kelsey can't go, and we don't know as we're recording this, what his status is after he got knocked out of the game last night.
Well, he got knocked out, but then he came back.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's okay.
It looked like it was a got the wind knocked out of me kind of thing.
I hope
he
that's
took
it.
That helmet to the chest really hard.
Yeah.
It could be ribs, but.
I hope not.
Yeah.
We need Kelsey going. We need Kelsey going, and we need Gronk to play on Thursday. It's a bad week for it to be a short week for Gronk, and what a disappointment he's been. By as a side note,
I'm all about the let's sell on Gronk now.
Well, you're selling at the bottom.
I think it's the beginning of the end of Gronk.
Think so?
You know what? It's not the bottom because Gronk has name value, mm-hmm. and there's nobody left on the tight end.
Well,
landscape.
Yeah, there's that.
So
yeah,
like
you're right.
The player
right.
pool is completely depleted.
Yeah.
You can get a king's ransom for Gronk right now.
You're probably right. You probably still can get a lot for Gronk
yeah.
from somebody who's desperate at that position.
So
I went back and looked at my league for last week, and I want to do a bigger study on this. It's a 14-team league, so seven matchups. Six of the seven went in the favor of the team whose tight end scored the most points.
There's something to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a big differentiator if you have a tight end with a pulse.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, and if you don't, you're just taking nothing out of that position.
Yeah, in a couple of
no
leagues,
points.
I've definitely tried to make trades to get Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce
yeah.
or not really Gronk. I haven't gone after him this year, but
yeah,
it's a pretty big deal to have that tight end position.
Full waiver wire article available on FanBall. Is there anything else we should be promoting on FanBall?
Well, if you're listening to this, you've probably found our new podcast feed. We had to put up a new podcast feed again.
I hate it when that happens.
I hate it when this happens,
you
too.
You lose all of your like ratings and
that's,
reviews
that's
and everything
exactly
else.
Where we're going with this.
It's the worst.
Go give us 5 stars and rate and review this podcast. We'd really appreciate it to get it in front of people all over again because
yep.
it was a mess and people missed a couple weeks of this podcast, and I'm glad they're finding it again, but if somebody mentions, hey, I haven't heard Charch's podcast in a while, well, it's there.
There you go.
Just go look for FanBall.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Yep.